Welcome. This is the first in a series of biblical exegetical studies. As will be our pattern in these studies, we will begin by exploring a literary structure found in Scripture, in this case, and in most cases, a chiasm. This chiasm covers three verses, Genesis 1:26, 27 and 28. Let's read those verses. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Verses 126 and 128 are synthetic parallelisms. That is, the second verse adds to the first. Verse 26 contemplates making man in the image and likeness of God. It then immediately ties this to man's purpose, to have dominion over the rest of creation. Verse 28 is the charge of God to man to carry out the purpose envisioned for him. However, this verse adds to the forcefulness of dominion by commanding man to subdue the earth. The Hebrew here is kabash, meaning to subjugate the earth, to bring it under his control. We find this word used in Joshua 18:1. In reference to the land of Canaan that was subdued, where the word kabash is used, after Israel defeated 31 kings in the land. This purpose, dominion over the earth, points to the creation of man in the image of God in verse 127. The term image of God is the Hebrew Tselem Elohim. When we hear the word image, it conjures up in our minds a set of attributes, both physical and spiritual, that we consider ourselves to share with God. This could include the ability to speak, our creativity, reasoning, and free will. Tselem, however, has nothing to do with attributes. It has everything to do with purpose, just as the biblical text suggests. The Genesis writer presents the earth as formless and void, tohu vabohu, in verse 2. In that same verse, the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. The Hebrew letter mem, the English m, is graphically depicted as water in its earliest written iteration. The mem is one of the three consonants found in the word tselem. Water moves freely, unless it is contained. It represents chaos. Verse 3 begins with a series of seven declarations by God that bring his creation from chaos into order, culminating and pointing to verse 27 with the creation of human beings. The word tselem is associated in Scripture with idols. You can find references to this in Numbers 33:52, 2 Kings 11:18, 2 Chronicles 23:17, Ezekiel 7:20, 16:17, 23:14, and Amos 5:26. A pagan would look at an idol and see the power of the god represented by the idol to be projected through the idol, and therefore he would worship the idol as if it were the god itself. The image of the deity itself often was inherited by men in terms of physical characteristics such as bodily functions and appearance. We know, and God has made abundantly clear, that the pagan idols have no real power. However, when an ancient Hebrew, freshly released from bondage in Egypt, encountered the phrase, man made in the image of God, Tselem Elohim, it signaled a connection between the power of God and the representation of that power through the image of God on earth, that is, man. Humans are the representatives of God on earth, empowered by God to rule over it. This is man's purpose, the reason why God created him. Carrying out God's will on earth is what establishes us as human beings. Looking at the pictographic meaning of the word Tselem reinforces the concept that the image of God is inextricably tied to God's purpose for man on earth. The word consists of three Hebrew consonants, a sade, a picture of a man on his side, pronounced ts or t like a ts together, a lamed, the Hebrew L, a picture of a staff, and a mem, a picture of water, the Hebrew M. The sade represents desire or need. The lamed represents control, as a shepherd would control his sheep through the use of a staff. And the mem, as previously stated, represents chaos. Therefore, the word image in Hebrew, Tselem, pictographically means the desire of man to control chaos. The earth was at the beginning, tohu vabohu, without form and void. It was chaotic. As God exercised power and control over chaos in the formation of the earth, man, as God's representative, would also exercise control over chaos. The word translated as likeness is demut. This word in Scripture enables the comparison of items that may share a commonality of some sort. For instance, in 2 Kings 16:10, King Ahaz of Israel sent Uriah, the priest, a model, demut, of an altar he saw while visiting the king of Assyria. In Psalm 58:4, the wickedness of rulers is said to be like demut, the venom of a snake. The word demut consists of three Hebrew consonants, dalet, mem, and tav. The letter dalet, pronounced like the English D, literally means door. The mem, or English M, stands for chaos, as previously mentioned. The tav, or English T, represents truth. Likeness, or demut, is likened to a door through which truth enters in the midst of chaos. Truth emanates with God in heaven, and we are those who model that truth here on earth. The Scripture provides instruction from God. And when we take on the image and likeness of God, we act as God's representatives on earth, modeling his behavior, ruling over other living things, and thereby bringing chaos into order, according to his purposes. We are not merely servants of God. A pagan could do that. Rather, we are vested with the authority to be in charge of the earth as God's representatives. Let's ponder something now that happened after our purpose was given in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. In chapter 2, God determined that man needed a suitable helper. In Hebrew, suitable helper is Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer means guardian, and Kenegdo is based on a concept of weight and measures. It here is seen as a counterweight. Man needed someone to watch over him and to keep him balanced. Adam was then charged with the inestimable privilege of naming all the animals. He named them according to their purpose, and none were judged to be an Ezer Kenegdo for him. Because man was created to rule over all the animals, there was no animal suited to be his Ezer Kenegdo, his suitable helper, his guardian and counterweight. Only one who came from his own body, who was a human being like him, could be his guardian. Immediately before the search for the Ezer Kenegdo, Adam was given instructions about what he was allowed to eat. That's in Genesis 2:16-17. Immediately after the Ezer Kenegdo was brought into being, we find that Ezer Kenegdo, that is Eve, having a conversation with someone. The purpose of man being in the likeness, that is Demut, of God is the door through which God's truth is delivered upon the earth, on the basis of which he will rule over all the fish, birds, animals, over every creeping thing. Who is the Ezer Kenegdo, the guardian of man, talking to? An animal. And it's the animal, not God, to whom she listens. We all know how that turned out. What makes us human, and not merely animals, is steadfastly adhering to the purpose for which God created us, partnering with God to bring his creation into order by modeling God's truth on earth.